And started Sunday night on the second coming, and obviously different topics and subjects and things like that on Sunday morning. But we saw Sunday morning on how to be acquainted with the Lord and what the benefits or results of that would be. And so just all good all around. Amen. If you preach the Bible, study the Bible, and try to apply the Bible, it's a good thing. But anyway, tonight we're in Matthew 18, and we'll start reading at verse 21 in just a minute. And this one is on the parable of forgiveness. And of course, when we hear the word forgiveness, we're probably in agreement. Oh yeah, forgiveness is important, and I'm glad I have it from the Lord. Amen. But when it comes right down to it, to actually do the forgiving, it's harder than it sounds. Because, I mean, we're born in a sin nature. I get that. But even from when we were little, we would hold a grudge. I heard one time that this guy, he was at a Christian college, and so he was training to be in the ministry, if you want to say it that way, and so obviously saved, and wasn't necessarily a preacher, but he was going to just train and be prepared to serve in the the church, however, and like I say, I coached this young man, and in flag football and basketball and different things like that. And so he's on a football team at this college. And it was flag football. And so when we played flag football, the linemen, you couldn't actually make contact. Basically, it was like a basketball screen. You had to, once you got within 3 feet of them, you could get as wide as you could, but then you had to stop. You couldn't hit them or you couldn't push them. You just had to try to make sure you directed them around and things like that. And so that's what he remembered playing. And so he said he went out there and set his little screen and on the kickoff and everything. And then, he was just standing there. And he said, lo and behold, this guy hit him running about 100 miles an hour. Wham! He just took him out. He saw stars and things like that. And so he quickly realized that they were playing what they called flackle, not tackle. All right. So you could actually block, you could push, you could do whatever. You just could not tackle. But if you block. And so he said, immediately he zeroed in on that dude's number and said, sometime before this game is over, I'm going to meet him somewhere in a hard fashion, right? Because he was just like, I'm getting even. He's not going to do that to me and things like that. And so that's just how we're made. If somebody does something to us, our brain says, let's do something worse back to them. And so it doesn't just go to the forgiveness thing. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how long you've been serving the Lord, that's still in us. Now, obviously Jesus, he was made, he's perfect. And so, they're driving nails into his hands, they're spitting on him, they're beating him, they're cursing him and this, that, and other. And his automatic is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Again, I know that story, and I know that it's true, and I know that that's exactly what Jesus, but that's hard for me to fathom. Because what happens to me now that I am saved and I am a Christian, I am trying to do the right thing, I still have the get even thought, or let them have it thought, but then I go, whoa, the Holy Spirit's in there going, no, time out, breathe, let's be like a Christian, and let's just forgive. And so then, then you have that thought, well, they didn't ask me to. we're supposed to ask Jesus to forgive us and to come into our heart and to save us, and they didn't ask me to. Again, we go back to Jesus. They didn't ask him to forgive them when he was hanging on the cross. He just said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're sinners. They're mankind. They're not perfect like we are. So we see here, so that's why obviously this is a parable teaching us that it's necessary. We might can think, I'll forgive them. But then it comes right back up. What do we have to do? We have to forgive them again. And then they do something else. What do we have to do? We have to forgive them again. And so that's what we have to do. But again, same thing. Jesus, obviously, He loves us enough to die for us. He loves us enough to forgive us. He loved us enough to pay for our sins, let all the sins be put on Him. He loves us enough, but He also loves us enough to forgive and forgive and forgive. It's me again, O Lord. I goofed. I got mad, or I got in the flesh, and I need You to forgive me for this. And it seems like we wear that petition out. But that's in this story here, we're going to learn that Jesus is like, that's necessary. You know, it's necessary for you to get to heaven. I've got to forgive you. And for you to be blessed down here on earth, I have to forgive you again and again and again. And so He's trying to teach us here. And so if you read the whole chapter, which we won't, we'll get to that in a minute. But there's some other truths that He's teaching that kind of spur this question on. And again, we'll fill in those blanks in just a minute. In verse 21, it says here, Then came Peter to Him and said. All right, so Peter has heard the other truths that He's been teaching from verse 1 all the way to 20 here. And again, we'll go back and fill that in a minute. But so Peter comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And verse 22 says, and Jesus said, I say unto thee, until seven times. And I said not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And again, we'll go back and fill in all those numbers in a minute. But it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would had taken account of his servants. So He's like, you know, I'm saying you got to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving. And He says, so I'll give you a parable. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an illustration. I'll give you a story. It says here, and when this king, when he had begun to reckon, in other words, he was balancing his books. That word reckon there, basically, he was reconciling his books, balancing his books, and things like that. And one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So it was a lot of money. It says here, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him. And so obviously he was trying to reckon his books. And I like it when I'm on the receiving side of that. Like we got a letter in the mail yesterday, and it was from our mortgage company. And I think this was on the house we sold. But they said, you know, we mailed you a check. And of course, they mailed it to the house we sold. So we didn't get it. And so it went back. And so I'm sure their accountant was reconciling their books, reckoning their books, and saw that we never cashed that $268 that they sent us. And so they said, if you'll scan this paper and email it back to us, we'll get it to your new address. So, amen. There's $268 coming to me. Now, obviously, it didn't work out this way. Ooh. 10,000 talents to the negative. And you probably have that happen to you. You know, we had your escrow and we paid your insurance and all that stuff out of it and this, that, and other, but we ran short. So we're going to up your payment next year, all right, to balance that thing out. And so that's what reckoning is. Obviously, I think I said this Sunday that a lot of people don't reconcile their bank or balance their checkbook anymore. They just look online and things like that. But anyway, this is what this guy was doing. He was doing his accounting work, and here was one that owed him 10,000 talents and saw that, you know, he hadn't made a payment for a long time. And verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay. So just as much as he owed, that's how much he didn't have. His Lord commanded him to be sold. All right, so this was a slave that this guy owned. And he said, sell him. It says here, and his wife, and his children, and all that had the payment to be made. So go sell all of them. And I know I'm probably not going to get the 10,000 talents back, but I'll get some of it. It's kind of like you buy a vehicle or if you buy a house and you don't make the payment, they will take it back from you. And most likely they will take it back and sell it at a reduced rate just to recoup some of their money. And that's what he's thinking. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying. Right, so he fell down and said, you know, hey buddy, you know, have I told you how much I like you? I mean, he's just buttering him up big time. Even worshiped him. You're the nicest boss I've ever had. I know you would understand and this, that, and other. You know, I don't want to lose my family. We don't want to go at different places. We want to stay together. But there's just no way we can pay this back. I mean, he's just pouring it on thick. And it says here, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And verse 27 says, and the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. So this is what he was wanting, and he got what he wanted. And it says here, he loosed him. In other words, he was a slave, and he loosed him. So you don't have to be my slave anymore. And he says here, and he also forgave him of the debt. Matter of fact, you don't have to pay me any of it back. Just go your way. And I mean, obviously, you know, that's way more than $268 that's coming to me. I mean, he should have been like ecstatic and overwhelmed. And, you know, gratitude should have just been flowing out of his mouth. Verse 28, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Not 10,000 talents, but just 100 pence. And it said here, he laid hands on the dude. I don't guess dude's in the Bible, but he laid hands on him and took him, got a page turn here, by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. I mean, obviously we can see the hypocrisy here. I mean, you were just fixed to be sold. Your wife was going to be sold. Your kids were going to be sold. And, you know, and this guy forgave you. And not only did he forgive you, he let you go. And now you got a guy that owes you just a little bit, and you're going to grab him by the throat. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, so probably some of the same words that he was saying to his boss, he was getting to, you know, hear it now from his fellow servant. Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. We'll stop right there because verse 31 and 35, we'll come back to it at the end. But we see here, Jesus is teaching a sincere message on forgiveness. And we all can see the hypocrisy in this story. It says here, earlier in this same chapter, Jesus was teaching on entering the kingdom with humility as a little child. So in verses 1 through whatever, he was teaching, you know, the only way you're going to get there is you got to humble yourself as a little child. And that's why it says, you know, it's easier for a rich person to go through the eye of a needle than to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because they're probably grown up to be that rich. And then they've also figured out how to make a lot of money and make it through life. So they really don't need God. Maybe they're probably not giving him the benefit or the blessing for blessing them. I guess the credit for blessing them. So you got to humble yourself as a little child to get into the kingdom of heaven. And that, the teaching was finding of the lost sheep. And so that's what he was teaching here, getting in the kingdom of heaven by being humble like a little child. And then if there's a lost sheep, let's do our best to find them. Then he went on and to the procedure that one should take if he's been trespassed against. And so that set the stage for Peter to ask this question. And the reason he asked the question, and then Peter was trying to be, you know, we've seen Peter run off at the mouth, cut people's ears off, and, you know, make things, you know, statements, I'll die with you, I won't forsake you, things like that. Then here we see him now, he's saying 7 times. And so in other words, he went one more than twice as much. And if you studied it out, traditionally back then, the rabbis taught that if somebody did something to you, you forgive them 3 times. In other words, 3 strikes and you're out. I'm gonna look the other way once, twice, 3 times, okay now. So Peter knew that, obviously. And so he said 7 times. So that was twice as many and plus one. So I'll get it up there to where, you know, Jesus is going to say that. Jesus was not necessarily giving an exact number. the 70 times 7, 490. He was basically teaching that what we ought to do is have that forgiving spirit all the time. Well, you don't understand what they did. He didn't say what, you know, you got to get forgive 490 times or just keep forgiving unless they do. He didn't say that. In other words, he just said, don't keep track. Just have a forgiving spirit. So Jesus was definitely an example of this throughout the pages of the Bible. He was willing to forgive fallen man with innumerable trespasses. And of course, we're all part of that. The sin that had been committed against him. From the first sin of Adam and Eve, all the way to today and beyond, the Bible says, was put on him. He forgave it all. So we're going to look at, number one, the man's debt. The man's debt. Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to that certain king that was willing to forgive this colossal amount. It was large enough that he could never pay it back. There just wasn't enough. And we're going to see this in just a second. There wasn't enough days left in this guy's life from the job that he had to what he made till he was going to be gone. So this guy was reckoning the books, and he looked at it and he said, whew, he don't have enough life left. He's going to die before he gets this paid back. So let's sell him, let's sell his wife, let's sell his kids, and let's recoup whatever we can. That was the colossal size. It was too large for him to ever pay back. He was standing before his master begging for mercy. Why? Because he knew the debt. And, you know, again, it kind of irks a little bit. There's a lot of people, that's what they'll do. They'll just charge, do that. And then they'll, oh, let's just file bankruptcy and go this way. I mean, I understand if you have to, amen, if that's all you can do. But anyway, we see that this guy, he's like, look, I got to beg for mercy. And he did. So, A, the man's debt. A, underneath that, we see the account was reckoned. So, in other words, the only person that could do it, because he had the books, and they were his books, he just wrote down beside it, paid in full. So praise the Lord for that. These are examples that we can see. In heaven, when our name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, beside it, paid in full. Never to be taken back or repossessed. It's been paid in full. So that's what he did. He wrote it down. It paid in full. And we see here it was reckoned. So the master was taking inventory. The servant had a large amount. That reckon basically means balanced, or the biblical word for it is justified. And of course, if you study about that, you know, they had the balance there, the and you put it on here, and you had those pieces over here that you would put to balance it out. And that's how they did it to buy and sell and things like that. And so it was justified. So three great reckonings that we see in the Bible is one, Calvary. And we see the great sin debt of Adam and Eve all the way through whoever will live throughout the world. All those sins were placed on Jesus, and obviously it would have sent it high. But His blood, that was what God would accept, His death, burial, and resurrection, His blood was laid on that, and it balanced it out. That's the one great reckoning that we see. The other two haven't taken place yet. And that will be the great white throne judgment. That'll be the second reckoning in the Bible, great reckoning. And of course, we know what's going to take place. If you're born again, you won't even have to go there. So all the ones that will be in line for the great white throne judgment, the only way that they can reckon that debt is to burn forever in a place called hell. That's the only way to justify it. And they'll be just burning for eternity and never justify it. The third great reckoning in the Bible is the judgment seat of Christ. And so we know, obviously, just like this man kept records, God keeps records. And, you know, our sin will not be judged anymore because it's already been taken care of. And if we're saved, it's already taken care of. But the Bible talks about what we do, the works that we do now, not to earn salvation, but because we are saved. He keeps record of that. And that's where the judgment seat of Christ will be there. Obviously, the Lamb's Book of Life will get us into heaven. And that judgment seat of Christ will give an account for what we've done. And the one examining it, reckoning it, will be obviously Jesus and God. So we see, first of all, that this debt was reckoned. Secondly, we're seeing that it was, keeping the R's here, it was robust. It was huge. It was, you know, bigger than you can imagine. And so we see here that it was just forgiven. Can't fathom it. Can't comprehend that. We see here that our sin debt was huge, but God forgave us. So he owed his master 10,000 talents. And so most history books back then says that it would back then it would have been 20 years to earn one talent. And he owed him 10,000 talents. So even though they lived way longer back then than we do now, there's just no way. So he owed basically what we would consider 200,000, or it would have taken this man 200,000 years to pay off this debt. So we see here, if we sinned once a day, I think I probably supersede that. But if we just sinned once a day and we lived 75 years, we would have 27,375 sins on our account. And so we see that sin got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. One sin, the Bible teaches, separates us from God. So obviously, before you get your sins paid for, you're separated from God forever and you'll burn in hell. But then once you get saved, you're going to heaven. But that one sin that we don't have confessed separates the fellowship. Not the relationship, but the fellowship. So, to say the least, we would have a huge sin debt that we could not pay. So we see, the first of all, that the account was reckoned. We see, secondly, it was robust. It was huge. But then thirdly, we see here, it was required. It was required. We might could say, oh, it's no big deal. Just look the other way. Just act like it didn't happen. Can't do that. It is required. The Bible says that it's appointed man wants to die, but then after this, the judgment is required for us to be there. We could just say, look, I didn't do very good as a Christian, so I'm just going to skip. You know, just like we skip class, or we skip fifth grade, or we skip going to work, or we skip. I've just skipped. No, it's required. So even though the servant could not ever pay, the debt was still required. So, sell him, his wife, his kids. That's exactly what the king was trying to do, trying to recoup a little bit. Why? It's required. So the Bible says that this man had a debt. But then secondly, we see here, because it was required, the king was the only one that could do this. And of course, praise the Lord for our king. He was the only one that could do this. But the king could say, with that stamp, that seal, that approval, that put it into law, whatever you want to call it, saying, okay, he's debt free. I'm forgiving it. He was the only one that was able to do that. And so he did. First we saw the man's debt. Now secondly, we see the man's deliverance. Right there in the Bible, we see here he was bellowing the ground, begging, please. And the king had compassion and delivered the guy. I mean, he even let him go. And so we see that it was, why did this happen? Because his plea was moving. His plea was moving. He had compassion, so something the guy said or something, you know, the guy did caused him to have compassion. And that's why we tell people when we're leading them to Christ, say, look, I can lead you in the sinner's prayer, but it's just words. It's not the prayer that saves you. What God's looking at is right here. So I can tell you what to say to God, but He's looking at the heart. And so if you're just saying words, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, but if you see, if your plea is moving, He's the one that can give you the deliverance. And so he knew that he would never, ever be able to pay this guy back. So just like, you know, when somebody says, you know, look, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you don't have to tell me, I know. I'm one of the biggest sinners. And so he knew. And so he fell down to the ground and he humbled himself and he begged for God to give patience. And he was desperate. He was asking God for patience and compassion and sympathy. And it worked. We see the deliverance. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's possible. And so, again, you go to a person that you've wronged and say, look, my bad, I am sorry. Would you please forgive me? Then they have the ability to forgive you. And so it worked because of this sympathy. It was moving. The master had sympathy on him and forgave him all the debt. So his plea was not only moving, but the pardon was made. The pardon was made. And so when we come to Jesus and say, look, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. He could save you. Then after we're a Christian and we've goofed or blown it or sinned, we can come to Him and say, look, I did this. 1 John 1:9 says He's faithful and just. And He can forgive you. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So He has the ability to give that pardon. So the Master forgave him the entire debt and freed him and loosed him. And so he was tied down with that debt. He was physically bound as a slave. And obviously the deliverance was there because of the moving plea and the pardon from the Master. So forgiveness was the only measure that could have been taken to free this servant. He didn't have enough time to pay it back. And so just like when we realize, okay, I'm a sinner. Okay, I'm going to start doing good works today. We don't have enough time to do enough good works to get us into heaven. We need to accept that forgiveness and be saved. So there no one could afford to pay the debt for him. He could have called a relative and, did a GoFundMe, help me out here. He could have done all that. There wasn't enough time. There wasn't enough to do it. The master chose to suffer great loss and graciously forgave this man and set him free. So we need forgiveness. Our sin debt was large, too large to repay. But praise God, we had a king that not only forgave us, but loosed us from the bondage of that sin. And said, look, I can not only save you from it, I can loose it from you and give you the power to overcome it. So only Jesus could forgive us and set us free. And, the hymn, there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was set standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below, but I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago. That song obviously has got this parable inside of it. And what does the chorus say? Long ago, down on my knees. Long ago, I settled it all. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record is clear today, for He washed my sins away. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. So, again, we see that this awesome, unbelievable story took place. This man actually owed the debt, but the king forgave him. Now, this is what we have to do. I'm a Christian now. My sins are forgiven. And so, if somebody, wrongs us in just a little bit, we don't want to grab them by the throat and say, bless God, buddy, I'm going to have you arrested. But the guy was asking him forgiveness. I'll pay it back. I'll make it right. And he should have remembered, well, Jesus did that for me, or the king did that for me. Okay. Matter of fact, don't worry about it is what I think should have happened. And so forth. But anyway, we see here the man's debt, the man's deliverance. But then now we see here the man's defiance. What took place after the deliverance was quite disturbing. The fact is that the man had been forgiven such a large debt that should have caused him to be willing to forgive anybody of anything. But he failed to do it. And of course, we would tag him with big old hypocrite because you asked for forgiveness and you got it from a huge sum. Now here's a guy asking you to forgive a little bitty sum and you won't do it? What in the world? Hypocrite. We see, first of all, the defiance, his actions proved he was unthankful. It's kind of like, I liken it like this. There's a lot of difference between my bad and repentance. My bad is, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that there's been some, you know, ruffled feathers. But what repentance is sorry enough not to do it again. Not to, you know, just talk your way out of it. He was just unthankful. How in the world? That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. But he was forgiven of basically what we would say in our terminology, $10,000. He was forgiven of what we would say $10,000, and he was owed what we would say $20. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You would think if you didn't have to pay $10,000, I got a blessing, so I'm going to give you a blessing. You don't have to pay me that $20. But he had the man thrown in jail. So this man had no appreciation or gratitude. In other words, he should have been so grateful that there ought to have been a huge change in his heart, his outlook, his demeanor. You know, he should have been, instead of a hater, he should have been a lover. Instead of a sinner, he should have been a Christian, a saved sinner. You know, all that stuff. It should have changed his love, his look, his labor, everything. I mean, $10,000 I got relieved from. So we see his actions were proved to be unthankful. Secondly, his attitude proved to be unforgiving. So even though he got forgiven, he wouldn't forgive. You know, and again, I've seen families messed up because of unforgiveness, and no, I'm locking my heels. They don't deserve it. Yeah, the devil's going to get in there. Obviously, I've seen churches destroyed by that kind of stuff. Well, the gates of hell will not prevail, but unforgiveness inside? So we see that his actions proved that he was unthankful. His attitude proved that he was unforgiving. So instead of moving with compassion, he moved with contempt and threw the guy in jail. And so again, we see that he should have maybe done what the Bible said. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says this: "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you, also will forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So right there. So now that I'm a Christian, and obviously I'm still going to sin, and I'm still going to have to, 1 John 1:9, I'm still going to have to ask God to help me. But the Bible says if somebody's asking me to forgive them, I'm like, talk to the hand, bud. All right, just go to jail. Then I come and say, oh Lord, I've messed up again and I need help. Boing, 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 boing. He's not listening. So we saw the man's debt, the man's deliverance. We saw the man's defiance, and now we're going to see the man's destiny. We said we would read the rest of that chapter. We stopped in, I believe it was, there we go, 30. "And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt." Verse 31. "So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord what all was done." Said, you know that dude you forgave $10,000? I owed him $20 and he's having me thrown in prison. Excuse me? Verse 32. "And the Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And the Lord was wroth. So we see here, when God says, look, if you ask me to forgive you and I forgive you, and somebody asks you to forgive them and you won't, we got a problem here. "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So he got it back. Boom. I had forgiven you of this, but here you go. So likewise shall the heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Wow. There's a lot laying on that. And so we see that he was rebuked by his master. Thou wicked servant, what he said. And the Lord was wroth. He said, shouldest not thou have had compassion like I had on you? So he was rebuked by the master. And lastly, we see here he was reinstated by the master. Now you're going to have to work for me. All right? That's why the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Here you go. Boom. You're going to have it put on you. And it says here, and he delivered him to the tormentors that he should pay all his debt, and went from being debt free and being free from being a slave. But now it says here he failed to reciprocate forgiveness, and so he would not be forgiven of his debt anymore. And so parable there on forgiveness. And so God makes it easy and tough. So I'd choose the easy way. Jesus forgave me. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And so if I need to forgive somebody else, what in the world? Why in the world I wouldn't want to do that? Especially when he puts the truth in here, or the parable in here, saying, look, this is what you should do. Once you realize how much I've forgiven you, well, you don't understand. Nobody's nailed you to a cross. Nobody, I mean, maybe somebody has spit in your face, but nobody's beat you with a cat of nine tails. Nobody's, goodness gracious, that's how much we were forgiven. And so I can forgive $20, maybe even $100, if that's $10,000 that I've been forgiven. So praise the Lord for that. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for this parable on forgiveness. Lord, obviously you were a great example in this, just like you're a great example in every way. All the parables that we've talked about, the sowing and the wheat and the tares and the building on the foundation, obviously you're the perfect example for all of that. And just like those, you're a perfect example in this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Obviously, people get mad at us or do us wrong. They don't know. They might know what they're doing. They might be trying to get even, but they don't know in the grand scheme that you've created this world and you want to forgive them as well. And so, Lord, I ask that you help us, Lord, to have the wisdom and always to have a forgiving spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. If you want an ice cream...